This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
120 on Wednesdays mean Mark Schlereth joins the show, our Odyssey NFL insider, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast, and as always, Insider Calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day, be delicious. Mark, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Doing good. I mean, obviously still reacting to and have been reacting to the way that the Sunday night football game ended between the Falcons and the Chiefs. Interested to get your thoughts on that final drive for the Falcons and some of those final short yardage plays.
Yeah, well, you know, obviously the PI in the back of the end zone that wasn't called is, you know, that's a problem.
Right.
And, you know, but what are you going to do? It's the Chiefs, right? They get that every week, it seems like. So, and is that sour grapes? Yeah, it probably is. I mean, I'm a Denver guy, right? And it irritates me. And you know, when I hear people talk about, well, the Chiefs get penalized, yeah, not in critical moments, it doesn't seem to happen. So, I don't know. Let's do that analysis. But, you know, that's sour grapes because I don't like the Chiefs. So, so there is that aspect of it. Absolutely hated the fourth down and one call. Hated it. And I'll give you a couple for instances. Just this is one guy's perspective who's been in a bunch of fourth down and ones over the course of his career. One, I hate being in split backs.
Mm-hmm.
Split backs ends up, you lose your ability to attack the line of scrimmage downhill. So you're attacking the line of scrimmage east and west, not downhill north and south. So it's much harder to me when you see a lane to put your foot in the ground and get into that lane because you're busy going east and west across the quarterback. So I hated that call. I hated being in split backs. I think that's the wrong call. Also hated the width of the play call because anytime you're running some wide zone stuff, you're susceptible to run through stuff. So wide zone, I don't like going wide. I hate being in slip backs. I hate the east-west nature to that play call. And then obviously, exactly what I just told you, a linebacker, I think it was Bolton, that shot through that gap to hit you in the backfield before your running back can even, you can't even square up on the guy. So, like, if you're coming downhill from I, at least you can square up on the guy and try to run his ass over. But when you're going east and west, you don't have any, you're not based in a power platform as a running back. So, hated everything about that play. It's one of those things that has always bothers me as a former offensive lineman. I don't know why coaches call that stuff, but, you know, that's the play they went with and that's the result they got. But I would hope they would learn from that. But, you know, at this point, it's too late. I mean, it already cost you. You know, hopefully going forward you don't do it. But you lost the game, and that play is a big reason you lost the game.
I know, Schlereth, we've had plenty of football guys on and talk about the reason in this new age of football where leaving points on the field is just – it's one of those things where I don't know what the card says or the paper or what. But what is it, in your opinion, because I never got your thought process on why coaches leave points on the field. I mean, it's okay to punt. It's okay to take a field goal. Why do you think this realm is going on now?
Well, because you have people that are people that don't know anything about football that are advising you on what to do on a football field. And, like, listen, man, I hate I hate analytics. I hate the number crunchers. I hate all that crap because most of it is baloney. And I don't know how we've gotten to the point. It's like baseball. How does baseball get to the point where people that don't know anything about baseball decide who's going to go in and pitch and who's not? Like, how do we let that happen? I don't understand. Like, for instance, like people, I will have analytics people argue that you should go for 2 points every time, 2 point conversions, right? Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, you know, you're going to, I don't know what the analytics behind that is, but I always ask people, well, how many 2 point conversion plays do you think we go into a game plan with?
Right.
Two, maybe, right?
I don't know.
Like
right.
Two?
Right, exactly. Yeah. And if you don't, exactly.
You have one that you really like and one that you kind of like. That's it. Mm-hmm. How many times do you think we practice it during the week? There is a five play period of goal line on Fridays mm-hmm. when you're in hats and T-shirts. That's the only time we practice goal line. So that's the only time we practice the 2 point conversion play. So we have one rep maybe at the 2 point conversion play in shorts and T-shirts. And yet the morons that run the analytics department think we should run it every time.
Absolutely correct.
and then you get into, you know, hey, we should go for it on fourth down and one here instead of kicking a field goal. Like, you know, hey, we run it to the left-hand side. You know, we average, you know, 0.68 yards per carry more on that side. So let's run it to the left. Hey, yeah, so Aaron Donald lines up over there, moron. So what's next? Like, what do you want to do next? But, like, if I haven't blocked the three technique in the entirety of the game, what makes you think on fourth down and one with the game on the line that all of a sudden I'm going to block that sumbitch? Like, I don't – it is so mind-numbingly stupid to me. And yet, you know, we fall victim to it because, I don't know, because what, it's good information? Listen, if you guys figure it out, please call me and let me know what I'm missing because I think it's absolutely insane.
With you.
We're going to talk every Wednesday this season.
Yeah.
When we figure it out, we're going to let you know. you bring up so many important points of these are human beings and every single game is different. Every Sunday is different. Every situation is different. And all this stuff accounts for these huge amounts of data that don't take into account these tiny little instances. And I don't know, I'm with you. It's very frustrating. I love the big picture question of how did we allow it to get to this point? I really don't know. But maybe we'll figure it out by the end of the year. Let me ask you just a three-game snapshot on the Falcons. Obviously, they're 1-2. That's not where they want to be. They need to beat the Saints on Sunday to avoid being 1-3 and losing a game in the division and 0-3 at home and all that. What do you think of this team through three games?
Well, I mean, I think they've got unbelievable potential. I think that game one when Kirk Cousins had one snap under center, like, I think he's still, you know, working through the Achilles. I thought the game against Philly, especially that final drive, was exceptional. But, of course, that final drive, there's another analytics. Like, I don't understand. Hey, what we've done has been so successful throughout the entirety of the game. You know what we should do? Change it. Like, I don't, like, that's another one. Like, and plus, I watched Vic Fangio in Denver for 3 years do the same damn thing and lose games on, you know, last drive. So, good for you guys. I don't understand that kind of aspect either. But I've seen Kirk make strides and play better. So I think all those things, you're sitting at 1-3, but I look at that division beyond. You know, obviously beyond, well, Tampa's got a lead on you right now. And obviously New Orleans, they're both tied. But I see three teams that are fairly similarly, you know, built structure-wise. And I see one team that's sitting at 1-3 behind those two teams in Atlanta that has not nearly gotten their best quarterback play yet. And as that increases and as Kirk becomes more comfortable and he becomes more comfortable in that offense, I think you're going to see that offense start to take off. And so I still, you know, I picked them to win the division before the season. And then I did the New Orleans game week one, and I saw how good New Orleans actually is. That's a tough battle. I still think that ultimately Atlanta's better than Tampa. I think it's going to be a really tightly contested battle all the way down the stretch with New Orleans.
Hey, and I remember we talked to you about the New Orleans game. You were talking about they don't have any canned calls. They have a lot of more run it calls and everything like that. What was the process of last week as far as the game between Philadelphia and New Orleans?
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously, you know, that was a tight game. It was, 15 to 12. They ended up losing that game. They gave up a bunch of big runs to Saquon Barkley, which was really the difference, ultimately, in that game. So that, to me, was kind of the big thing that went down. So anyhow, but with that said, I think you look at what Philly was able to do. They shut down for the first time the run game of New Orleans. Now, New Orleans lost their center, who's a really good player, in McCoy. Those two behemoths inside, essentially for the first time all season long, really dominated the line of scrimmage. They just could not get the run game going. And, you know, that run game has been what has set up everything over the top that, Derek Carr's been so good at. So, that was the biggest kind of turnaround for me is Kamara in that run game kind of got shut down, and that eliminated all the play action stuff and all the things they had done really well up to that point.
Odyssey NFL insider Mark Schlereth joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can find Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and flavor to your game day dishes this football season. I know it's early, it's 3 weeks, but who's the team so far this season that has impressed you the most?
Well, I think the Buffalo Bills have been unbelievable.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
It's always so funny to me, like, for instance, Chicago. All I heard all season or all offseason was, man, Chicago, all the weapons they have. You know, they drafted Adunze after they got Caleb. They've got Keenan Allen. They've got DJ Moore. They've got Cole Kmet at tight end. They went out and got Swift. Like, they're going to be unstoppable. Their offense is going to be so great. And I just kept saying to people, you know, the Chicago fans of the world, go, you still got to block people. You guys do realize that, right? Like, I don't care how many weapons you have. If you can't block people, those weapons are rendered useless. You know, I mean, that's what we talk about. But, you know, nobody wants to recognize that. And so, you know, where do they sit right now? I think Buffalo is interesting to me because they ate $31 million to get rid of one of the best weapons in football, and Stephon Diggs. And they just said, that dude, like, the squeeze ain't worth the juice anymore. Like, we are just tired of his crap. And I don't know if you guys heard Josh Allen come out yesterday in his press conference and said, man, it is so good, like, not to have to worry about, you know, guys complaining about statistics. Guys just want to go out there and play and win. And it's music to my ears because it's about sacrificing. It's about playing for one another. It's about, you know, it's about what it takes to be a great team. And, you know, the whole team concept is unbelievable. Today on Breakfast Ball, I mentioned that in the Bible, the term leadership appears six times. Six times in the Bible, leadership or leader appears in the Bible. The word servant appears in the Bible 900 times. You want to be a great team? Learn how to serve one another. Mm. Want to be a great team? Learn how to be unselfish. Want to be a great team? Learn how to set your teammate up. Want to be a great team? Celebrate somebody else's success like it's your own success. That's how you win championships. That's about being a great team. It's not about putting up stats. And, you know, and I tell you what, I have the experience and, you know, I've been blessed to be on 3 world championship teams. And I tell you what, every one of those teams was similar in this. Every guy cared more about the team and doing what it took to win than they cared about individual accolades or statistics. And that's 100% true. And that's why championships, in my mind, are so hard to win. Because it's really hard to put 53 guys and 20 coaches together who care more about each other than they care about themselves.
Mark, great stuff.
Woo!
We appreciate
Let's go,
it. I know.
Man.
Come on.
Oh, I can't roll.
That's halftime.
My body hurting. I'm about like you, Stank. I ain't having as many surgeries as you. But, it's about to rain down here in Atlanta, and I'm aching right now.
Yeah, it'll get you. It'll get you. That's for sure.
Oh, man. Thank you so much. That
appreciate
was awesome.
Appreciate it.
Talk to you next week.
You got it, guys. All right, take care.
Mark Schlereth there, Odyssey NFL Insider.